In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Polyoleos is a hymn that is the highlight of matins for many Sundays and on feast days, and this time of the year it's done on every Saturday evening matin service or Sunday morning matins if you were doing it the Greek style in the morning. But the Polyoleos is a very important hymn. If you read in Chronicles, there's a story about King Jehoshaphat and how he suddenly found his kingdom under attack by several kingdoms, and he didn't have the strength to possibly withstand this number of invading soldiers. And so his people spent the day in the temple praying, and then he sent his singers in front of the army out into the battle because the prophet had told them that God would deliver his people and that they wouldn't have to fight. So the singers were actually the people who led the way. And normally in warfare back in ancient times, you might have drummers or pipers, but they wouldn't be the ones that would be leading the charge because they would be slaughtered. But the point of it is that it was in the praises of God that they won the victory. And in spiritual warfare, this is crucial. It's crucial that we have the praises of God on our lips and that we pray the prayers of the church. And the Polyoleos is composed of two psalms, Psalm 134 and 135 in the Septuagint, 135 and 136 in most Protestant Bibles. Today I'm going to talk about the first half of the first psalm. Praise ye the name of the Lord, O ye servants, praise the Lord. Why do we praise the name of the Lord? Well, the name of the Lord is a powerful thing. It's the reason why we say the Jesus Prayer. When we invoke the name of the Lord, we are becoming aware of his presence. God is already present, but we go through our lives most of the time with a lack of awareness of God's presence. But when we speak the name of Jesus, we get a sense of that presence. As a matter of fact, when we say the Jesus Prayer, I read one writer say, and I think that there's truth in it, that the reason why we say more words than just simply the name of Jesus is because the name of Jesus is so powerful that contemplating on that name alone would be too intense for us. And so we remember the name of Jesus in the context of the full prayer, O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But if you meditate upon the name of Jesus, it is a powerful thing, and it invokes his presence. And it's not enough for us to praise God alone. This says, praise ye the name of the Lord. It's the psalmist talking to the people. And he says, O ye servants, praise the Lord. We're the servants of God, so we have an obligation to serve him and to praise him. We're called to praise God as a church, not just simply as individuals, although when we're alone we pray as individuals, but we should come together to pray. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. This underscores the importance of coming to church. Now, we shouldn't understand church as simply being the building, because the church is really the people of God, but the church is where we generally gather together with the people of God, the church building. And so it's important for us to regularly attend the services. St. Paul, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, he warns people, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. So even in St. Paul's day, there were people who would play hooky and not go to church like they should. But he was reminding them that you need to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's very important. The Apostle Peter says in his epistles, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we're the stones, we're living stones that make up the church of God, and we have to come together. One stone by itself doesn't make a church, but stones put together in the right configuration become a church. And it's not just any group of people that we need to assemble with, but with those that we're united with in the true faith, and also by holy baptism. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Chant unto his name, for it is good. The goodness of God is one of the foundational points of our faith. And whenever you have a question about why does God allow things, the underlying assumption, which is true, is that God is good. We don't always understand why God allows things to happen. And in many cases, in this lifetime, we may never come to understand why God allows some things to happen, but we have to know that God is good, and he allows things to happen for our good. St. Paul says that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That doesn't mean that everything that happens is good, but it means that everything works together for good. St. Paisius the Athenite made the comment when he was talking about the providence of God. He said, the devil plows, but Christ sows the seeds. The devil does things that opens up the earth, so to speak. They open up possibilities, but it's Christ that plants the seeds. It's Christ that's directing how things turn out. And he makes everything, even evil things, work together for good. And it's important that we chant unto his name, sing unto his name, because singing lifts us up. It gives us strength. And it's one of the reasons why when you have children, you should make sure that they learn how to sing, that they participate in the youth choir and eventually in the adult choir, because being able to sing well is a great blessing. But even if you're not able to sing well, singing is still important. There's a saying or a story about the Desert Fathers where there were monks that sounded like three cats in a bag when they were praying. But nevertheless, you know, someone was looking down on this, and they said, oh, but God still honors what they're doing. To God, this is still sweet and melodious. And so even if you're not able to sing well, singing to God is important. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, Israel for his own possession. And when you hear about the Lord hath chosen Jacob, the fathers say you might have expected to have heard Abraham, because Abraham was the one to whom the blessing and the promises were given first. But they point out that the word Jacob means supplanter. In other words, someone who takes the place of someone else. And this is referring to the New Testament church, which is the church of the nations, which takes the place of the Old Testament Israel, which had been a people composed merely of only one nation. We are God's possession. We're his treasure. We're his inheritance. That's why we say, O Lord, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. That's us. We're the treasure that Christ purchased with his precious blood, and so that means that we have value. And we have value in Christ. We don't have value in and of ourselves, but in Christ we have value because he gives us value, because he loves us. For I know that the Lord is great and that our God is above all gods. All that the Lord hath willed, he hath done, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and in all the abysses. We see that God is great and all-powerful, and he can do whatever he wishes to do. But he cannot sin because he would never wish to sin. He can't lie. He can't contradict himself because he would never wish to do those things. But anything that's in accordance with his holy will, he can do. Bringing clouds up from the uttermost parts of the earth, lightnings for the rain hath he made. He bringeth winds out of his treasuries. We see God's power in creation. And I believe it was St. John Chrysostom that talked about the fact that even people who live in the city should take time to go out into nature, because when you're in nature, you begin to appreciate the awesomeness of God. When you're living in a city where everything that you see is made by other human beings, you can lose sight of those things. But when you go out in nature, you can really become overwhelmed by the wonderful creation that God has given us, and we need to take those times to do that so that we can appreciate those things. He smote the firstborn of Egypt, from man unto beast. He sent forth signs and marvels in the midst of thee, O Egypt, on Pharaoh and on all his servants. God showed his power to the people of Israel when he brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. And the bondage of Egypt represents our bondage to sin. And God frees us from the power of the devil through baptism, just as he freed the people of Israel from Pharaoh and the Red Sea. He smote many nations and slew mighty kings, Zion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of the land of Bashan. and all the kingdoms of Canaan. And he gave their land for an inheritance for Israel, his people. Sihon and Og were the two most powerful kings which blocked the people of Israel from entering into the promised land. If you kind of can think of the current state of Israel in your mind so you can see it as a map, what the people of Israel did was they actually went to the south through the Negev and then came around through where Jordan is today. And that's where these two kingdoms were in Jordan and in Syria on the other side of the river Jordan. And these were very powerful kings. And they represent the demons that try to war against us to block our way to our heavenly homeland, because Canaan, the promised land, represents heaven. And these people were standing in their way, and the Israelites simply just asked to be allowed to pass through. But these kings said no, and so God told them to fight them in battle and gave them the victory. And the possession of the promised land represents the blessed rest that the saints have with God for all eternity. And so we need to encourage one another to praise the Lord in this life, because in that eternal rest, that's what we're going to be doing all the time. We're not going to need any prompting or encouragement to praise God in eternity, because we will be so filled with joy that we will praise God because we won't be able to do anything else, and it will be out of joy. It'll just be the bubbling up of all of the goodness that God has bestowed upon us that causes us to praise God. And so in this life, we need to struggle, however, and we need to encourage each other, and we need to encourage ourselves to praise God. As St. Paul says, using this analogy of the promised land being the heavenly rest, in the book of Hebrews, he says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." In other words, the Israelites that at first didn't have enough faith to enter in the promised land. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Amen.